Luke's Gospel, the 14th chapter. Glory to God. Verse 15 declares, "Now when the one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, 'Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God.' And he said unto him, A certain man gave a great supper and invited many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, Come, for all things are now ready. Come, for all things are now ready. But they all, with one accord," they were together, it was a consensus, "but they all, with one accord, began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I have bought a piece of ground and must go and see it.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm going to test them. And I ask that you have me excused.' And still another said, 'I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come.' So that servant came and reported these things to the master. Then the master of the house said to his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets, to the highways, the byways. Go out into all the lanes of the city and bring here the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind.' And the servant said, 'Master, it is done as you have commanded, and still there is room.' Then the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled.'" Father, we thank you for the word of the living God. We thank you for its purpose and its intention. For the word is quickening. It makes to come alive because it is alive. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Its purpose is to divide asunder soul from spirit and be a discerner of the intentions of the heart. Father, speak such a word to us this morning that it changes not some things, but everything. Let it be a word that causes us to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus. Let it be a word that allows us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Touch our hearts, Father, so it's open to receive that word. Anoint our ears so that we can hear it. Lord, the most important thing at this moment, at this time, is that you have your way. This is your house and we are your people. So I stand in the spiritual authority of what you have given me. And I bind every spirit except the Holy Spirit. And I say, move as you see fit among us. Heal us. Deliver us. Set us free. Touch us. Give us an encounter. Let no one leave this place the way they came. But let us be changed by your power. And we'll give you all the praise, glory, and honor for it in Jesus' name. If you agree with that prayer, you shout amen at this very moment. Come on, that was a terrible amen. Come on, shout amen and give the Lord some praise. Look at your neighbor, smile as bright as you can before you sit down and say, have you RSVP'd? Have you RSVP'd? Does the Lord know you're coming? Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to preach to you from that subject matter for a second. And before I do it, I want to give you the proper context of the scripture before I start preaching so that you can understand what is transpiring. First, we have in the narrative that Jesus is dining at a Pharisee's house. This is the same group of individuals with whom Jesus would have many conflicts, theologically and as well as conflicts that would result in his crucifixion. But Jesus is having dinner at a Pharisee's house. He's there on the Sabbath, and he's there to eat bread for the breaking of bread. He's in an atmosphere among people with whom he has his greatest disputes, but saw fit to dine with them anyway. It's amazing to know that Jesus finds himself in this atmosphere without labeling any of his associates in the room as haters. He is so focused on his intention that he is not bothered by any criticism from someone from the outside of his circle. He's so focused on what he is called to do that he shows the example of humility by breaking bread on a Sabbath with a group of individuals that continuously plotted to kill him. I want you to know that he's doing so in peace and in comfort and enjoying himself right in the middle of his critics. You and I today would label them as haters and want nothing to do with them. But Jesus says, no, I'll come and eat with you despite your criticism of who you think I am. Because my focus cannot be determined by what you think about what I'm about to do. I cannot allow what I'm about to do to be hindered by what you think I should do. I know in which the Lord has assigned me, and I know the hope of that calling. And I am determined to make sure that in the end of it all, I finish what God wants me to finish so that ultimately he can get the glory. Look at your neighbor and say, where's your focus? Where's your focus? Is your focus to the place where you can sit down with individuals that would do nothing but criticize you? And in that atmosphere and from that posture, he decides to break bread. And when he breaks bread, the Bible says it was the Sabbath day, meaning it was the day of rest according to Jewish custom. And in that atmosphere, he decides to see a man in a condition with a dropsy. A dropsy is a condition when your face fills up or swells up with water so much so that your muscles relax and it looks like you're having a stroke, but you're not. It's just that your face is so filled with fluid that the muscles relax and your skin begin to drop. And Jesus, sitting in that atmosphere, saw a man in that condition. And while the man was in that condition, Jesus couldn't sit on a day of rest and see somebody that could be healed just because he's in his presence. And so he decides to heal the man on the Sabbath day, knowing it would bring conflict and criticism. And so he heals the man of the dropsy. There was no drama behind it. There was no fanfare. He just looked at the man and said, be healed. And in that moment, and in that instance, the Bible says he was healed. He took him, the Bible says, and healed him, and then let him go. And so what we're trying to show you here is that in a moment and in an instant, as the Lord is having this festive dinner on a Sunday afternoon or on a Sabbath day, and as he's sitting there with his critics watching him, he decides to heal somebody of something that somebody would have a problem with because of the certain day that it's on. But Jesus says, no problem. I'm not going to sit here in this atmosphere knowing that I have the power to heal this man and not let him be healed. I want you to look at your neighbor real quick, and I want you to do this with half an anointing, because that's all you got right now. It's all right. Come on, look at him with half an anointing and say, the healing power of God is in this room right now. There is, if you will, right now in this atmosphere, an anointing to heal at this very moment. Pastor, why would you highlight that? Because God is ready to move among his people today in a fashion without drama, so that when it happens, you know only God and God alone could be able to do what just happened in your life. There's not going to be a lot of fanfare. There's not going to be a lot of crescendo. It's just going to be. There's going to be a moment when you were suffering with something. Then there's going to be a moment when you're the healed of the Lord. And I came to declare to somebody this morning, that moment is right now. Whatever ailment you have in your body, no drama, just be healed. Who am I talking to in here? If you believe you receive that healing, you ought to give God 10 seconds of praise in the atmosphere, because you believe in the healing power of the true and living God. And so Jesus heals the man of the dropsy. The man is healed without trauma. And then, of course, his critics kick in. And his critics does not have a problem that the man is healed. His critics has a problem that he's healed on the Sabbath day. For on the Sabbath day, you're not supposed to do any work according to the Jewish custom. And so then Jesus begins to teach right in the middle of his critics. And he begins to teach on humility. And so he starts off with a parable. But in his parable, he's talking about an invitation, if you will, to having the master at your house. And so there's two parables in the story, in the narrative. I would do a disservice not to give you both. The text that we've taken highlights the second parable, or short story of God. But to get to the second parable, I got to tell you about the first. In the first parable, it is not that the master is inviting you, it's that you are inviting the master to your house, just as Jesus has been invited to the Pharisee's house. These Pharisees invited Jesus to his house, but they did it with pride. They were so puffed up to have him there that they were basically flossing everything that they had in front of the Lord. And when the Lord showed up, he was not impressed with their house. He was more impressed with the man who needed a healing, knowing that the Pharisees even had the ability to heal, but they did not want to walk in that capacity. And so Jesus showed them by example, when you have a guest in your home, realize that they're there for a reason. In other words, God didn't bring you and promote you to the place of being able to have people around you so that you could be puffed up with pride to say, look how blessed I am. He put you in that position so that you can realize that you are the answer to somebody else's problem. And so when you're at work or when you're around your family and they're looking at you saying, you're blessed, you look good, that's not for you to go, I know. That's for you to go, I know, so that I can tell you the story of how I got here. Because baby, it wasn't me that got me to this place. It was the Lord. This is why I have the capacity to bless the name of the Lord at all times and forget not none of his benefits. The Bible says he daily loads us with these benefits. He forgives my iniquities. He heals me of all my diseases. And when I'm feeling sorry about the mistakes I made in my life, the Bible says he redeemed my life from destruction. Oh, if I had two or three people in here that believed they were the redeemed of the Lord, and would say, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, that you recognize if it wasn't for the grace of God in your life, you would not be in the position that you are in at this very moment. And so you are grateful that God could put you in a position to be a blessing to somebody else. I did not get here so I can say I've arrived. I got here so I can say, let me help you understand how I got here. It was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. And so he tells this parable and this story of how to understand your position. And when he tells the story and the parable, he tells them, he says, listen, don't be so lofty and high-minded that you find yourself in a low seat. What he was saying was, is when you come in the house, recognize, my God, it was the favor of the Lord that got you in the house in the first place. And so it doesn't matter what's going on in the house, and it doesn't matter who the company is in the house, if you don't recognize it was the favor of the Lord that got you in the house in the first place. Of course, obviously, I'm using house as a metaphor. The house can represent anything in your life. And so he says, it's not that you want to be able to find yourself in a low position in the house and then seek a higher position. Some people do not know how to be thankful for where they is. I can't get help. Because they're so focused on where they want to go that they forgot to simply spend some time being thankful for where you came from. I know you're going somewhere, but don't skip where you are, because where you are is beneficial to where you're going. Who am I talking to in here? And if you don't have a thankfulness for where you are, then baby, when you get to where you're going, you're going to have to maintain where you're going on your own. Slap your neighbor a high five, for I feel like preaching, and say to them, God has brought me a mighty long way. Can I go a little old school on you this morning? Look at your neighbor and say, God has brought me a mighty long way. I feel like preaching in here. I feel like preaching in here. When I think about the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, can I find 10 people in the room? My soul cries out, hallelujah. I thank God for, I'm just glad I'm saved. I'm just glad I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm just glad my name is written in the, I ain't got no church this morning, in the Lamb's book of life. So y'all sit down, let me preach this thing. And so let me get to where I'm going. And so this is all introduction. And so he tells them this story. He says, listen, don't get so high-minded that you look to sit in the best place. Don't do that to yourself. Mm-mm. Don't think about how you get promoted. Be thankful that you're even in the room. Stop concerning yourself of how you're going to get to the next plateau. Be thankful that he brought you through the valley. Oh, God, I feel like preaching to somebody. And you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and you don't come out clean on the other side to say, I wonder how I got over. Who am I talking to in here? All right, let me hurry up. And so he says, listen. Don't concern yourself with that. And don't concern yourself with your place. For it is going to be God that's going to move you up, because it was the same God that got you in the room in the first place. So what he was talking about the Jewish tradition and custom. The Jewish tradition and custom, when you had a festival at your home for the breaking of bread, the most important people had the high seat, meaning they were at the head table. Those that were less important or less affluent were at lower tables. And so in their tradition and custom, people who were at lower tables would try to seek a higher table. And so they would jockey for position. And the Lord was trying to tell his disciples this story in this narrative, because his disciples are in the room, Pharisees are in the room. So his disciples, whom he's trying to train, is in the room with his worst critics. And Jesus is trying to show his disciples, don't worry about your critics, babe. Don't worry about how you get up to where they are. Be thankful that first you're in the room. And when you get in the room, the same God that got you in the room is going to be the same God that gets you to the table. I'm talking to you, don't know what I'm saying. And so he begins to tell this narrative, and then he says, now that's the narrative of when you are inviting me to your house. Now let me show you when I invite you to my house. There's a unique difference. Glory to God. When you invite Christ to your house and when he invites you to his banquet. When he was invited to their house, isn't it amazing? He was their guest, but they still criticized him. And you're looking at them going, shame on them. I'm talking to you. Look at your neighbor and say, he ain't talking to me. He talking to you. He talking right to you. Because the same principle applies. You invite Jesus into your life and then want to criticize how he's going to work in and through your life. And so when he starts removing stuff from you that he knows doesn't do you any good, and then challenging you to step out in faith over here, you want to have a critique of how he's going to get it done. Look at your neighbor and say, oh, you ain't shouting now. You ain't shouting. You want to criticize. God, move. Show up. I need your help. And he comes. And he starts rearranging the furniture. He takes your favorite Lazy Boy and he moves it away from the front of the TV. And he puts it over in the corner. And you say, well, where am I going to sit? He says, I don't want you to sit. I want you to stand. And having done all, stand. I ain't got no church. Stand therefore with your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I ain't got no help in here this morning. He takes all of your favorite pieces that you find comfort in. He snatches your favorite blankie. Everybody got a favorite blanket. What's wrong with you people? Come to my house, everybody's wrapped in a blanket. Y'all ain't said no. Just walking around. He takes your favorite blanket and he throws it up. Says, you don't need this comfort right here. And he starts rearranging the furniture. And you going, what are you doing? And he says, you invited me in? You asked for my help. You were having a problem with your palette. With your decorations. You called me to be an interior designer. And when I started trying to fix the inside, you put me outside. I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting. Slap your name and say, let them fix the inside, baby. Because if you let them fix the inside, everything on the outside is going to work out just fine. Oh, God, who am I preaching to in here? And so he then switches and shifts the narrative. He says, that's what happens when you invite me to your house. Now let me show you when I invite you to mine. And so he shifts the narrative and he begins to tell this story. And when he begins to tell his story, he says, oh, blessed is the man that eats bread in the kingdom of God. When you're eating bread at your house, it's criticism up in there. It's conflict up in there. I'm preaching better than y'all shout. But when you start dining at the table of the Lord where the feast is spread, he says, blessed is the man that can partake of the bread of the kingdom of God. It's a huge shift in the story that when you begin to accept the invitation to dine at his banquet, everything changes. Notice there is no criticism in the kingdom's banquet. There is no conflict. And also notice there were no sick people in the story, because the moment you sit down at the table and receive the invitation and you say, I accept, everything that was troubling you and everything that was hindering you and everything that was holding you back and everything that was defeating you goes away. So here we go. Here we go. Here we go. And so I'm going to leave you with four things. I'm almost there. Here we go. And so that's my first almost there. So don't you count. Just be quiet and listen. So he begins to tell the story. And in the story that he begins to tell of his banquet, he says, I sent out invitations. And when I sent out invitations, on one accord, they began to make excuses. I found that very interesting, that he sends out these invitations to people. And as he sends them out, the Bible records on one accord, all at once, person after person began to say why they couldn't show up. Glory to God. It was amazing to me that it recorded it that way, as almost as if the no was contagious. As almost as if when they got the invitation, they went to their friend and said, hey, I got this invitation in the mail. Are you going? You know, when you get an invitation to go to something, the first thing you want to find out is who's going to be there. Watch me now. That you know. I don't have time. Because y'all trying to play me, and I don't have time. Mess with you. When you get invited to a celebration or a party, of one that you might want to go to, might not want to go to, doesn't matter. But when you get the invitation, the first thing you want to know, who's going? So you start trying to figure out who's attending, who's going to show up. It's quiet. It's not the fact that you got the invitation. That doesn't excite you. What excites you is who's going to be there. And in the invitation that the master sends out, now you have to remember in context, this is the Lord saying, this is my banquet. I sent out the invitations. And when I sent them out, oh, hallelujah, you want to find out who's going to be there. But when you sent me an invitation to your house, I just showed up. I didn't ask you who was going to be in the room. And when I got in the room and saw somebody sick, I healed them immediately. I was not concerned who was going to be at the table with me. I was just concerned that you were going to be there. So Jesus has no concern about who's going to be at your party. But you need a list. I will take your silence as for good preaching. You need a list as to who is going to be at this banquet. Why? Because you need to figure out why you're going. Because you don't perceive the invitation as being important. That God would think of you in such a capacity to say, I have you on the first list of people I want to dine and celebrate with. Come, come. And the Bible says, on one accord, they begin to say, I can't be there. I can't be there. I just bought this land. I got to go see about it. I just got married. I was married now. I was married, and I got a family, and I got stuff to do, and I can't get help from nobody. I don't want to see. I ain't never seen The Color Purple. Okay, anyway, I can't be there. And they begin to make excuse after person after person after person. And so the master got fed up and said, fine, go out into the streets, into the neighborhoods, and start telling people to show up. Because everything is ready. Look at your neighbor and say, everything is ready. He says, I'm not waiting for you to get here. I got it ready before you even show up. He says, I prepared for these people to come. And since they won't come, I'm not going to let it go to waste. I'm going to make so sure somebody celebrates and partakes of what I have at my table. Look at your neighbor and say, are you that somebody? Come on here. We're going to get there. We're going to get there. And so now the Bible says they begin to make their excuse. As they make their excuse, the servant went out as the master bid him to do, to go invite people to come. And as he invited people to come, folks start showing up, but they weren't the usual suspects. They weren't people of high esteem. They were people of a low station. They were individuals that should not be at the banquet, but they showed up anyway. And I can only imagine, he says, all right, come on, come on, come on, tell them come. And as they came, the servant says, all right, I did what you asked me to do. Now what you want me to do? Because there's still room for some folk. And the Bible says, the master said, go to the highways and byways, behind the hedges, wherever you got to go, and compel them to come. Let them know there's a feast going on where the table is spread, and it is the feast of the Lord, and it is nothing but good things here for those that will show up to the banquet. And the Bible says they begin to come by the hundreds and by the droves, but they were not rich. They were broke folk and maimed folk and lame folk, folk in pain, not the usual suspects, folk that shouldn't be in that type of atmosphere, but they were there nonetheless. Look at your neighbor and say, you should not have been invited in the first place, but thank God for the favor of the Lord that you got your invitation in the mail, or you're going to RSVP. Watch this, watch this, watch this, watch this. Here we go. Here we go. Give me 10 minutes. I know I'm lying, but do it anyway. And here we go. Here we go. Here's what I want to give you. Here's what I want to give you. There's a reason why the people that got the invitation the first time didn't show up. Here's the reason. When Jason was up here singing, Watch Me Flow, many of you were looking at him like he was crazy, like he lost his mind, because he was overwhelmed by the power and the presence of God as he was worshiping. Why? Because it certainly hit them. In my family, watch me flow. My marriage, flow. My job, flow. There's a favor that is surrounding me, that's propelling me with the love of God, that makes me obedient to what he's asking, that's going to cause me to do the work that he wants me to do. It's a flow. That means the hard and the difficult friction of getting stuff done in my life is about to be resolved with this flow that's about to take place. The little bit of the dousing from a spigot of little by little that I'm used to is about to shift in a change of the overwhelming flow of the power of God in my life. Look at your neighbor and say, watch me flow, watch me flow. The reason why the people that got the invitation did not perceive it as important is because they lost their ability to have gratitude. The reason they lost their ability for gratitude is because they were waiting on a convenient moment to go to something that God invited them to. And so oftentimes we miss our opportunity of what God has for our life because when he shows up, it is not convenient. I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. You already had something planned and you got something else going on, but he throws a banquet and says, I want you to drop that and I want you to come to this. But then you say, I can't because it's too important. Why? Because now you think it was you that got you the land, or you that got you the marriage, or you, I wish I had somebody to talk to, or you that got you to where you are. But when you recognize you are where you are because of the favor of God in your life, that when God calls you to something, you will drop whatever it is that you're doing and say, here I come, Father, because you're more important. When Jesus was on the shore in John 21 and Peter perceived that it was the Lord, Peter dropped everything. He said, I don't care nothing about no fish. He dove in the water just to get to Jesus. And when he got to Jesus had fish, but his fish was cooked. I wish I had somebody. See, you can catch your own thing, but when you get to the Lord, he'll not only catch it, he'll clean it, he'll cut it, and then he'll prepare it for you so you can eat it. Here we go. Psalms 5, 11, and 12. I'm almost there. Psalms 5, 11, and 12 says this. It says, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defends them. Oh, hallelujah. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For the Lord will bless the righteous, and with favor thou shalt compass him as like a shield. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, favor surrounds you. Psalms 89, 15, 18 says, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day. And in thy righteousness they shall be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength. And in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel, our King. Look at your neighbor and say, God's got my back. Come on here. So here's what I'm trying to say to you. I'm going to give you four things in a second. Here's what I'm trying to say to you. First, what you fail to recognize, you stop celebrating. What you fail to recognize, I'm preaching better, y'all shut. You stop celebrating. The moment you stop recognizing the favor of God operating in your life, then you stop celebrating it. And when you stop celebrating it, it stops rewarding you. So what you fail to recognize, you stop celebrating. What you stop celebrating stops rewarding. And anything unrewarded will exit your life. I'm preaching way better than y'all, focus y'all. Yeah, you trying to write it down. Don't write it down. Listen. What you stop recognizing, you will not celebrate. This is why your marriage is stale. Because you stop recognizing that that was the gift of God that you prayed for. Do you remember you were on the altar? Father, please let me have a husband. Please let me have a husband. Please let me have a husband. Please let me have. Now you got one and he ain't good enough. I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting. You thought that that was the gift of God. It was the gift. It's just not comfortable. Because marriage is work, because you have to constantly be reminded why you said I do in the first place. I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting. This is why your career is stale, because it was you that prayed for the promotion. But I'm sorry, promotion means a little bit more work. More responsibility. I'm preaching, y'all not helping me out. And you're now complaining about the thing you prayed about just a year ago, and God showed up and did it. I feel like preaching, and y'all not helping me. But now you have stopped recognizing it as a blessing, and so now it's not rewarded. And anything you don't reward leaves your life. Anything that's not rewarded leaves your life. So the master said, you're too busy? No problem. I'm going to have a party. Okay, yeah. You want to make an excuse? Okay. Don't come. Somebody is going to show up and receive what I prepared for you. But since you didn't want it, I'll let them have it. Can you look at your neighbor real quick and say, I ain't losing my stuff over nothing? I feel like preaching in here. And if you don't want yours, I'll take yours and I'll keep mine too. God, look at your neighbor and say, you better respond to the Lord's request. God is telling you, Kingdom Life Church, you have been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. You better recognize where you are. Because if you don't, somebody, why so quiet? This is not bad news to you. This is good news. It's a wake-up call for you to realize what you've been invited to. Slap your name and say, it's a party, baby. Thrown for you, meaning it's your celebration. In the Lord's story, he says, I'm inviting you to a banquet that I'm throwing for you. It's your party. It ain't my party. And if you don't want to show up, I'm going to have somebody show up. Because I got all this stuff. I got healing, and I got joy, and I got peace, and I got prosperity, and I got blessing, and I got, who am I talking to? I got all this stuff. Here we go. Four things. Here we go. Look at your neighbor and say, you better identify. Meaning, you better begin to appreciate the fact that you're even in the room, that your name was even on the guest list, that God would even saw fit that he could use you for the kingdom's work. You better identify. Come on, look at your name and say, identify. Come on here. Hi, God, when you can identify the very fact that the Lord saw fit, my God, to have you to be a part of the celebration, then you have the ability to specify. You have to understand, not until you identify the very fact that you're grateful that God would pick you and select you to show up to the party. When you get to the party, you get to be specific about what you want to partake of. I don't have no help in here, because he gives you all things to desire of your own desire of your heart. Who am I preaching to here? Why are you missing this? I can't preach to a people who do not identify that God selected you for something so awesome, it is beyond your very comprehension, that when you show up, you get to pick and choose what it is. I'll take some healing. I'll take some of that blessing. I'll take some of that joy. You know what? I was in the mood for favor. I will take that. I can't preach. Identify. Specify. You can be as specific as you like. Oh, you don't hear what I'm saying. This is why. No, because you want me to hoop and I'm not doing it. I don't have the voice to do it. I'm not an entertainer. This is a word to you. And I'm telling you prophetically, Kingdom Life Church, I love you. I am telling you prophetically, you are in this story. You are part of the group that are making excuses as to why you cannot show up. And I'm telling you, God is saying, I'm throwing a party. Whoever wants to come, they can come. Whether you want to come, that's your business. But if you don't recognize at this very moment where you are and what is going on, you're going to miss the banquet. You're going to miss it. I love you, but you're going to miss it, man. You're going to miss it because you're still concerned about your stuff. And the Lord shows up. Y'all are missing this. Y'all sitting on this. No. Y'all are sitting on this, and I got to go. Identify. I'm done. Specify. When you identify with gratefulness that you are even on the list, that you get to come into the party, when you show up, you get to pick and choose. Baby, this is a buffet of blessing. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to tell you it's a buffet. I don't know what's wrong with you. It's a buffet. What you want on your plate? How much of it do you want? And when you get in there, you don't have to wait. For the story says, it's already, it's ready, it's ready, it's ready. The moment you show up, you can start specifying what it is you want. What do you need right now? You can specifically say, God, this is what I need. And watch him show up. Somebody shall specify. When you identify, you specify, then you can quantify. Come on, say quantify. I know it's not a big word. It just simply means you can express how God has made a difference with measure. There are metrics, tangible measurability of how the Lord has changed your life. Meaning, when you leave the banquet, there is an identifying mark that you've been in the presence of the King. So when people see the joy that's on your face and say, why are you so happy? You can quantify it. You can say, let me see. I just taste and see that the Lord God, he is good. I just partook of his goodness. I just partook of his glory. No. Quantify. That means as you look back over your life, there'll be a measuring line of the goodness of God operating in your life. Somebody shout, quantify. Here's my last point, and I'm going to sit down somewhere, and I'm going to preach to myself just because I feel like it. Somebody shout, magnify. When I can identify that I am grateful that God chose me, because I shouldn't even been in the room, but he let me up in there anyway. And then he allowed me to specifically request what it is that I wanted. And then when I left the room, people saw the joy of the Lord that was on my face and saw the favor that surrounds me like a shield. And when they ask me, how did you get here? I respond, it was the Lord's doing. And it was marvelous in my sight. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, it ain't me, baby. It's all God. Ah, God, I feel like preaching. Come on, look at him again and say, watch me flow, honey. It's all God. When I can do that, I can measure over my life what God has done, so that the next time he invites me to something, I will drop whatever it is that I'm doing to say, I know what happened the last time, and he is more important than anything else in my life. Then I get to magnify. Now I'm going to preach to myself. You can join in if you want to. But this is for me. I'm throwing a me party at this moment. You got to have your own me party. Because you want to act like you're not in church. I don't know what's wrong with you. When you magnify, you can't magnify by yourself. To magnify means that not only do you become an encourager, but you encourage others publicly. David said, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. And so when God gives me the invitation, I don't want to find out who's coming. All I care about is that he's going to be there. And when I get there, I'm going to find some people with the same story that I had. And they're going to look at me and say, how'd you get in? And I'm going to look at them and say, how'd you get in? And they're going to look at me and say, nobody but God. And I'm going to look at them and say, sure, you're right. I wish I had somebody. Because both of us know we shouldn't be up in here. So we begin to magnify the Lord together and begin to share our testimony one with another, that God has been very good to the both of us. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, come on here. Will you magnify the Lord with me? I need a little bit of encouragement right now. I need some help, because I forgot how good God has been to me. And so would you help me magnify the Lord right now? Let us exalt his name together. If you found somebody, shake their hand like you're about to shake it off and say, God's been too good to me. If I started to tell you about the goodness of God, I lose my absolute mind right now. He healed my body. He saved my soul. He brought me out of a horrible pit, set my feet upon a rock, and established my goal. Listen to me. I'm terrible at giving people in church what they want. I'm terrible. Listen to me, because you want me to do what I just did, and you want me to preach, make you feel good. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me prophetically. I love you. I'm telling you, there's a banquet. I'm speaking prophetically. This is not literally. There's not a literal banquet. I'm speaking prophetically. There's a banquet that the Lord is throwing. And he's inviting people to come.